Welcome to Christian Guys Radio. Radio for, well, the Christian guy. Let's jump right in. Well, we are back with you again, guys. We are thrilled that you are hanging out with us yet again. I hope that you have been finding the shows beneficial. I pray that you've been finding the topics that we've been talking about varied and interesting, and some of the things that we have been discussing. Hopefully, I pray that they have been beneficial to your life. We are going to jump in now to our next topic of the day, if you will. And this one comes from Caleb. He has brought us the topic, or the question, I guess, is how should Christians handle failure? I don't know what you've got going on in your own life. I don't know what you're dealing with or what has happened in your life. If you're 15, there's probably been not a whole lot of things. That's not an insult. That's not a dig. It's just you've only been on the earth 15 years. And so your failures may look different than a 20 something or a 40 or 60 something. Your failures are going to look different than my failures. How do Christians handle that? How do we handle, we can put this in all kinds of contexts, but you know, when we fail God, when we fail, ourselves, when we fail, whatever it is, whatever goal, whatever challenge it is that we're dealing with at the time, how do Christians handle that? I think it's at least something worth discussing, worth talking about. And, so I thought I'd open that up for us today. As always, guys, if you have some comments or thoughts, we want you to make sure that you mention those down in the comments section. Go to our YouTube channel and mention them there. Go to our Facebook page, our even just our regular old website. There's a comment section there. We would love to hear your thoughts and topics, and as we jump into this. So, Caleb, David, what do you think? How should Christians handle the issue of failure?
I guess I'll start us off. Well, now, guys, you know, I'm speaking straight to you, and you know, don't think, you know, if you might not be a Christian yet yourself, or you don't think too highly of Christians, thinking that we're all high and mighty. Let me assure you, we don't. This was some years ago when I kind of had my crisis of faith moment, and this was kind of coming off being if I can kind of open up for you guys, when I was addicted to pornography. I was addicted for years, didn't really think anything, you know, was really better out there. I mean, of course, I knew it was wrong, but I didn't think, you know, it was as harmful, because since I had, you know, two Christian parents who raised me, you know, they never really talked about the subject. They just said, don't do it. And it was like, okay, but what about, you know, this? But of course, when I did reach that crisis of faith moment,
it's because people don't realize that people think that it's a victimless crime.
No. And honestly, I would say, especially in today's culture, not only do they think it's victimless, but they think it should be encouraged, that people will grow out of it. And I could tell you right now, that is a straight up lie from hell.
Or they just plain don't think it's wrong. I mean, I think we were talking about that one day off air, Mike Nine and somebody else, you know, that a lot of the younger generation doesn't even see the issue with it.
Right. And I would say, you know, you could say that could be a cause of this culture being very over-sexualized, you know, through multiple sources of media and how prevalent pornography is. But I would say, you know, in essence, from my own experience, I knew that it was a crime, namely between me and God. He did not approve of it, and I knew, you know, I was grieving him. I felt grieved in my own heart, and I knew I didn't want to live like this anymore. It was unlivable. And then it was from there, you know, I repented and, you know, renewed my vow to Christ. And I think this passage here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, disgrace follows, but with humility comes wisdom. So sometimes I do believe God will allow you to be brought down through your own vices so you can eventually turn back to Him.
Good.
If I can do a little springboard off of what you were saying, and it just might help some people kind of understand a concept that we put out there in Christianese. I don't know if you intended to do this or not, but you said, you know, this is a crime against God. I think that's a good way to describe sin. It's a lot of times we get lost in the spiritual terms. I think that's a good way to describe the spiritual thing of sin. The act of sin is I have committed a crime against God, maybe even against myself or somebody else, but it is an infringement upon God's law. Ergo, we have committed a crime of sorts. At least it's a different term for basically the same thing. And so I thought that was interesting, that whether it was intentional or not.
No, but it sounds good.
Yeah, if it sounds good, run with it, you know. But so I just thought that was really interesting. One thing that we kind of touched on this when we were talking in a previous podcast about, you know, the new year and setting resolutions and that kind of thing is, you know, if you get to the point where you kind of mess up, don't stop. And I think that's one thing that we tend to do as Christians when we do fail at whatever it is, we don't want to, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't want to get up again. It's like, oh, well, I messed up, so I guess, you know, we're done, and that's it. Well, no, you're not done. You're a work in progress. You know, so if it's a behavior that needs to be stopped, yes, stop that. But don't stop trying to better yourself. Don't stop trying to get closer to God. Don't stop reading your Bible. Don't stop praying. Keep on getting up so that you can make progress and don't get lost in the failure.
Good. You know, I think that, you know, how do we handle failure? I think the question is, is misleading. Do we fail? Yes. Are we failures? No. I think we get caught up in, the Bible talks about the sin that so easily ensnares or easily entangles. And I think the enemy wants us to wear the label failure. When the Bible says that sin has already been forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Now, I understand the context within which we're talking right now. We're talking about a very specific time when we have done something. Yes, it's forgiven, but we've made the mistake. And that's what I'm talking about is we dwell on the fact that we made the mistake. We talked in, I think, that same episode, David, that you're referencing. We referenced the cycle of sin, and I came up with that, and this is just, I mean, you know, when you're starting out and you're trying to create a website and a ministry, and you just kind of think of taglines and things, and that's basically what that was or what that came from. And it was this cycle of whether you want to call it pornography, masturbation, whatever, but it was this cycle of sin of regret, repentance, temptation, regret, repentance, freedom. And what happens is we're tempted. We regret, we fail, or as we would call it, and we regret it. And I think that that's where we get caught up. The sin has already been forgiven. If we're a believer in Christ, it's already been forgiven. He died and he paid the price for all the sins that we commit and ever will commit. I think it behooves us, and I think that we're called to lay those at the foot of the cross. But that's it. We lay, Lord, I committed this sin. I know it's already been forgiven. I move forward. The problem is we hang on to it. We hang on to, I can't believe I did that again. And that, again, that's that cycle, temptation, regret, repentance. And so we go repentance, regret, repentance, regret, repentance, regret. And we keep going back and forth. And we hold on to these failures much longer than we ever needed to, because the failure's already been forgiven.
Right. We have this false mentality thinking, oh, if I don't hold on to it, I can't remind myself of where I was.
Well, it goes back to our fallen nature, our human mother and father. They discipline us. We make our mistake. Do you know what you did? You need to go to your room and you need to think about what you've done.
Or waiting for the proverbial 2x4.
Yeah. I mean, and we sit and hold on to that. We literally emotionally go to our room and think about what we've done. And God's going, think about what? Yes, you messed up. Let's move on. Thank you for acknowledging the fact that you messed up. Thank you. I'm not teaching, or I'm not espousing that we presume upon God. Never. Paul says in Romans, should we continue to sin so that grace may increase? By means, no. Of course not. But when we do, let's be Elsa.
Let it go.
Let it go. Sorry, very heavy topic. Had to make a little pun. Okay, little lighthearted humor. We've got to let it go. We've got to let the fact that we made the mistake go. Not hold on to it, because that's what the enemy's looking for. The enemy is looking for you to hold on to who you once were, what you were. And when you do make the mistake, he wants to remind you of who you used to be and see you're really no different. You're really, all you've done is whitewashed, what does the scripture say, an old tomb. You're full of dead men's bones. But that's not the case. We are new creatures when we are in Christ. And so I don't know what you've got going on in your life. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with, Caleb. I gotta say thank you so much for sharing that. I know that was a very personal thing, and now it's out there for the world to hear. And the simple fact is, every one of us has stuff, whatever that stuff is, and we do a good job of couching it like that. We call it stuff or issues or my past, and we like to make very general. But the problem is it doesn't help anybody else. And we're here to tell our testimony. We're here to share those things that God has brought us through, so that the next person either A, doesn't have to go through it, or B, understands there's a way out of it. There's a way past this. And so being able to understand that if we go to Christ, if we have given our heart and life to Jesus Christ, we are a new creature. We're a new child. We are born again. We are blood bought. We are blood covered. The sin is covered indefinitely under the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is never to be remembered. You acknowledge the sin and you move forward.
Well, and I think it's one of those things, this isn't going to be quite as profound, but one thing that I know I've struggled with off and on, and sometimes even nowadays, I don't know if when you were younger, have you ever heard the term rapture check? It's when, you know, you'd be doing something. My mom is absolutely amazing inadvertently at doing what I call rapture checks. We would be like in Walmart or some such place, and she'd be at the end of the aisle. She would go around one corner, I'd go around the other corner, and she'd be gone. It'd take me like 3 or 4 trips around the entire store to find her again. And of course, in those moments, if you believe in the rapture, that was one of those, it's like, oh, was I left behind? So ergo the term rapture check. Yeah. And so, you know, and so your brain starts going through all of the, okay, what did I do today? You know, did I mess up? Did I sin? Did I think a bad thought? Did I, and you're going through and until I found my mom, or until I ran across someone that I just absolutely knew was sure to go in the rapture. And then once you saw them, you're like, oh, whew, I'm okay. You know, I forget, somebody tells the story that they used to call a certain person in the church, and whenever that would happen to them, and they would call that certain person, and if that person was there, then they knew that they were okay because God wouldn't leave them behind, you know. But having, you know, it's a struggle with that insecurity. I mean, they're, like you said, you know, you've been forgiven and God has forgotten all of that, but yet we hang on to it, and it causes a certain level of anxiety and, you know, a lack of confidence, because, you know, it's like, oh, did I do something that's going to keep me from being raptured, or keep me, you know, if I get into an accident on the way home, you know, did I do something today that, oh, God's going to say, oops, sorry, you don't get in.
I guess, you know, I've had similar thoughts, you know, where, you know, I would say or I would do something, and then the moment after I was like, oh, you know, God would not be happy with that if he raptured, if he did the rapture right now, or
right.
Or if I died right now.
But you're Baptist, so once you're saved, you're always saved, right? Yes. And I can tell you right now, David, you're the person I'm calling if I ever have to do a rapture check. Because if you're still here, I'm okay.
Sure. But I mean, it just, it reveals, you know, people tend to look at me, and because, you know, I grew up in church and my folks are, you know, they were missionaries, and, you know, I have a fairly strong faith background, and I mean, I at least in a mental sense, I would say that I have a fairly strong faith. You know, I understand the faith. I can enunciate it. You know, I can defend it, if you will. But for people to know that, you know, yeah, I have those moments too, where it's like, did I mess up, and how bad did I mess up? And, you know, and just to have that level of insecurity with what God has done for me. And I mean, I would consider that a failure, you know, maybe not a grand scale failure.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something that I shouldn't be insecure about.
Right.
But I am.
Sure.
And, you know, and that's where what I mentioned earlier, you know, you can't stop. I can't stop being a Christian. I can't stop expounding my faith. I can't stop doing these things just because I have those insecurities. You have to kind of keep plowing through, and
right.
You know, you've got those days where you get up and you just, you don't feel like it, but you just, you know, put your pants on one leg at a time, and you go out the door and you do it again. We're not perfect, and we ask God for forgiveness again, but just don't stop. Don't let the failure take hold. Yes, you're going to fail. God knows that. No, he doesn't have the 2x4 waiting to smack you upside the head. You know.
Well, what would you say, I mean, as a sign of true belief, when you do fail, your automatic thought is, I need to confess this. I need to repent this. Because it is acknowledging that, one, that you're still in a fallen world, and two, that Christ is the only
remedy.
Remedy for that. Yes.
You know, I think that, you know, even here at Christian Guys, we have had in the past a thing called Life Coach. We've had a thing, we've had accountability partners. We've had all of those different things at different points in this ministry's existence. And I think that those things are good. But I also think, and I'll tell a little quick story again. It's a Bible college story. Somehow, in the course of again, very quick background, I don't come from a ministry family. I don't have the spiritual heritage or roots that David does. I don't come from a family of ministers. I don't come from a Christian family by and large. I am the spiritual patriarch in my family, meaning I was basically the first one saved into a real relationship with Christ. I have family who knew Christ or who
professed
faith-ish. But I mean, they didn't attend church. They didn't live out the life. They didn't anything. But they had been to church with grandma, kind of a thing, or great grandma. And so, for me, I'm very non-judgmental. I don't really care where you come from or what your background is or what you're struggling with. It's really irrelevant to me. You can say I don't pray and read my Bible enough. I'm going to treat you the same way as if you confess you're dealing with pornography or masturbation or whatever that issue is. I don't care. God has called me to be available, to be a pastor, to be a shepherd. And in Bible college, somehow I ended up being the guy that all these guys would come and I'd get the knock at the door at 10 o'clock at night. Hey, can I talk to you? Okay. I know the person, but not super, super well. And all of a sudden they'd come in and they'd sit down and they'd start telling me all this stuff, whatever it was. 90% of the time, you know, college age guys in a dorm room, it was pornography. And this is back in the day when the internet was basically brand new. And you know, so all that stuff was basically unfiltered and blah, blah, blah. All of that to say, I heard the story over and over and over and over and over again. And I ended up being the guy. So I went to, of all people, the president of the college one day. and David knows who this man is. He
indeed,
very godly man, much respect for him. After he left the college, he actually went on to the mission field and did amazing work there. But all of that to say, I went to the president and I said, how do you do accountability? How do you do, because I didn't know. I mean, again, I don't come from any kind of Bible background. I knew my standard Bible memorization stuff that I learned in scouting or in Sunday school and those kinds of things. I mean, just an average kid. That was it.
Right.
No great depth of spiritual knowledge or wisdom. I went to the wisest person I knew. And his answer was, go live a Christian life. I said, how do you do these accountability groups? And I could see immediately his face drained. And it was almost a, this question again. And I didn't mean any, and I was, to be honest, and he doesn't know this, I'm assuming he doesn't know this, and I was taken aback because I assumed this was something that was done in church and in Christian world, in particular with the guys, because everybody was always talking about in the dorms, you know, accountability partner, you gotta stay accountable, you gotta get stay away from temptation, blah, 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 blah. Me and my roommate at one time had these Bible verses about temptation around because it was just so prevalent. Somebody walked into our dorm room and was like, somebody have a problem? And we're like, well, no, but I mean, this is, you know, what's so I made these signs and Bible verse reminders, and to try to keep myself focused. And so, you know, but when I asked him, he just was like, go live a Christian life and it won't be an issue. And I understand what he means now. If you're truly living the life that God has called you to, if you're truly living, I am adamant, if you are praying and you are reading your Bible regularly, I'm not saying temptation won't come, and I'm not saying you won't have failures, but they will be fewer and far between. Because you're inhabiting your spirit, your soul, your person with the presence and wisdom and knowledge of the Almighty. Where the temptation comes is we're allowing room for the enemy to speak.
Now there's the old saying, you know, garbage in, garbage out. So whatever you're feeding yourself is what's going to manifest. And so, you know, if you're reading your Bible and you're praying, then that's going to get regurgitated, so to speak, back out. If you're watching crummy stuff on TV or whatever, then that's what's going to come out. You know, I have some friends of mine who, and this is not a dig at them, but they're just from a different background, and they see no issue with, you know, letting certain curse words fly now and again and whatnot. And they said, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal because, you know, that's how some people talk. And my retort to that is always, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, you know, the whole garbage in, garbage out. If you're talking to me and every second or fifth or tenth or however many words is something that is considered to be foul, then that tells me something about what's going in to the degree that it's coming out. And so if we take care to feed ourselves properly, then I think that helps minimize, not eliminate, like Mike was saying, but it helps to minimize the failures, and not just the frequency or the number of failures, but it helps us to not stay in that state of failure, but be able to recover and keep going. And the next time, maybe we don't fail, maybe we come close to, but we don't, because we're reminded. I know one thing, you know, from time to time, you know, you fall off the proverbial bandwagon. And there's been several times where I missed reading my Bible for X, Y, or whatever reason, for whatever the time period is. And I go back to get into the reading again, and coincidentally, and I use that with scare quotes, it just happens to be a passage that is talking about something that I'm struggling with. And it's like, it's not really coincidence. It's God saying, it's there. It was always there. And yes, I know. And you need to stick to this.
Well, guys, I appreciate you talking with us, and as always, sharing your perspectives and your views on these subjects and the topics that we talk about. This one was a little, probably a little more difficult, a little deeper than, probably a little more practical than what we've done here recently. But you know, if you're listening, guys, and you're finding yourself stuck in this cycle of the temptation, regret, repentance, freedom, you find yourself failing over and over again, and you're getting weighed down, you're getting bogged down, you know, the only thing I can tell you is reach out to somebody. You know, find somebody to talk to, find somebody to share with. I don't know how you feel about it, but I guarantee you, if you're a student, your youth pastor, if you are a grown man, your regular pastor, if they are worth their salt, would be happy to sit down and talk with you. If you talk with them and you don't get what you're looking for, or they're not willing, you know, reach out to us, whether by comment, by text, by message, email, We would be happy to talk with you, to visit with you, to share with you, even as far as bringing back that old accountability program and share with you in that way. But don't get caught up in the failure. Remember the fact that you're a child of God, that you were born and you are born again and you are made new in Christ. And find that freedom in Him and Him alone. Again, we want to say thanks for listening. On behalf of David and Caleb, myself, we pray that you have a fantastic week. And remember that you are a child of the King. Well, hey guys, you know, before we get out of here, I wanted to say one more quick thing. You know, we appreciate you listening. On behalf of Caleb and David and myself, I want to say thanks for joining us every episode, and wanted to mention just a couple quick things for you. Number one, did you know that if you like the episodes, did you know that you can actually sponsor our episodes? You can go to anchor.fm/Christian Guys. All one word, and you can click the support this cast, and you know, maybe it's $1, $5, $10, I don't know, maybe something, but you can go there and help us keep up the equipment and the time that it takes to get all of these put together. Hope they're a blessing to you. Also, do you know that you can be part of the show? We want to give you an opportunity to speak into the show, so if you have a question, it can be on anything. There is not a topic that we won't talk about. And so if you have a question that you'd like to ask, grab your smartphone, click on the voice memo, and record your question. Shoot us an email at podcast@christianguys.org. Shoot us that email with that attachment. We'll actually drop your audio right into the show, and then we'll answer your question, and you get to be part of the show. So we would love for you to do that. Hope you're looking forward to being part of it, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.